Okay, next one, please.
670, request of Mary Seip to address council regarding overview of pile driving.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have three other colleagues that I'd like to ask to come up. Since we're going to do this as
sure, yeah, you've all signed up. Please come on up. Why don't you call their names so we've got the record here.
671,
okay.
Request of Candace Condo,
yes,
to address council regarding economic impact of pile driving. And 672, request of Patrice Hansen to address council regarding impact of pile driving on health and well-being. And 673, request of Brooks Hickerson to address council regarding collateral damage from pile driving.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Mary, you want to start?
I will. We are here today asking for your support in our effort to regarding Title 18, noise control, as it relates to construction activities and equipment. After a five-year lull, the housing boom is back in the Pearl District and most of Portland, and we're happy about that. But for 6 weeks, neighbors of Block 17 were subjected to the noise of impact hammer pile driving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday on most weeks. Portland City Code Title 18 restricts the maximum sound levels as it relates to construction to 85 decibels. However, pile drivers are completely exempt from this restriction. With five more buildings beginning construction before the end of this year, we contacted developers and contractors and asked them if other methods could be used. We were told that other methods didn't exist first, and then we were told that methods such as auger cast piles are so costly that it could make an entire project infeasible, and that also because of the contaminated soil in our area, that methods like that can't be used. Well, we found there are other methods. There's some controversy about whether it's more or less expensive. And yes, the soil is contaminated, but remediation has been completed, and the contamination levels are not at levels considered dangerous by DEQ. The dirt just has to be trucked to Hillsboro. Cost should not be the point, however. The livability and the serious physiological and psychological impacts of this constant pounding at over 100 decibels is the point. Point Street Properties and Unico Properties made the decision to use alternative methods on Block 15 and on the Overton. And, oh, I should have referred you to your maps that are on the
right
top
here.
Of your hand,
yeah.
Handouts. We all know pile driving is nothing new to the Pearl District. I've lived in the Pearl District for 14 years, and I have come to accept pile driving as a necessary evil of development, like most of my neighbors have over these 14 years. But what we've learned is that pile driving is not a necessary evil of development. Impact hammer pile driving is not permitted in cities like New York, Long Beach, California, Coronado, California, just to name a few. Cities like Seattle and San Francisco have restrictions on the permissible hours and certain locations of where they allow this. Many, many cities have requirements for noise mitigation devices, such as sound barriers. If conscientious developers like Hoyt Street Properties and Unico Properties can take the initiative to spend this additional money to use this other alternative to protect the community, then we should make this the standard for all developers in our code. Please support our initiative or our effort to amend Title 18 to remove the exemption for pile driving, specify the acceptable types of pile driving, restrict the permissible hours, and require noise mitigation. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you next, please?
Hi, I'm Candace Condo, and I'm here to encourage you to take steps to mitigate the mind-numbing noise of impact hammer pile driving by selecting other less noisy alternatives, which we have researched. You know, we've done our homework on this. Changing the type of pile driving operation might even reduce costs in some instances and would allow those residents who work out of their home offices to continue to earn a living. Now, what I would like to do is take just two examples, and I have many, and I realize I only have a few minutes, of people who are working out of their home offices and how this affects their work. Tom, he's a real estate agent. He lives in the Pinnacle. 35% of his new business is obtained by prospecting for those failed listings the day they expire. Absolutely 8 o'clock in the morning. By 8:20, it's too late. Other brokers have snatched him up. So Tom picks up the phone to make his first call, and this is what he hears. Try that one. Thank you. What does Tom want? He wants development to move forward. He's not anti-development. But when the developer's right to make a profit cuts 35% of his profits, something needs to change. And what Tom wants is the type of pile driving currently used to change to quieter ones. Robin. Robin lives at the Sitka. She lives right next door to me. Robin is a senior regional organizer at Bread for the World. It's a nonprofit organization that works nationally and internationally to reduce hunger. The people who work for Bread for the World are scattered all over the United States. There's not just one location. They meet at least weekly and more often using video conferencing. Very common. I've worked in high tech for 30 years. It's a very common event. So Robin has to make a presentation. Her manager has asked her to make a presentation. 8 o'clock. It's always 8 o'clock. I don't know why it's always 8 o'clock in the morning, but it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's logged on. Everybody appears. She's ready to go. She starts her presentation, and this is what everybody hears. Thank you. She has to give up. A couple of her colleagues are going, "What the hell was that?" The meeting's totally disrupted, and she has to drop off the meeting. This doesn't work, folks. Whoops, I think my time is up. I could go on and on. I guess you figured that out. I know quite a few people who work out of their home office. They deserve to be able to do that, earn a living. Thank you. You have any questions?
Thank you. Well, I mean, we might save them to the end since you're so well organized. So,
good morning. I'm Patrice Hansen, and I moved to the Pearl in Portland about 4.5 years ago after retiring from my position as a psychiatric technician at a state hospital in Sonoma County, California. I really loved Portland and being in the Pearl until about the second week of April when pile driving began on block 17, a little over 50 feet from my door. I never expected that living in the city would be quiet, and I knew there would be noise from construction. But I was shocked and unprepared for the overwhelming assaultive noise and vibration of unabated impact hammer pile driving. I knew that what was happening was putting the health, safety, and welfare of myself and my neighbors at risk. Many of us are retired seniors. Others are disabled or young parents with children. Suddenly, being at home became a nightmare with loud, intermittent pounding throughout the day, 5 to 6 days a week for pretty close to 7 weeks, actually. I've researched the physiological and psychological effects of such noise and vibration, and these include hearing impairment, hypertension, ischemic heart disease, aggravation of pre-existing conditions, and other problems. And I've had my own health challenges as a result of this, but I was particularly concerned about my 74-year-old neighbor who was recovering from a serious heart condition and who has had major setbacks since the pounding began. So I've compiled some of my research, and it's in your handout, and there's also in there stories from residents sharing their personal experience of the detrimental effects in their lives. Paul Van Orden measured decibel levels of at least 109 in the Fields Park near the construction site where the children play. Decibel levels of 85 can cause permanent hearing loss in babies and children and is a health risk for all ages, yet no warning signs were posted. And I'm concerned about the Abigail going up because they plan to use impact hammer pile driving there, and it's right near the Ramona. There's a school in there. It's a place for families and young children. So if anyone believes this kind of noise should be tolerated, I invite you to spend a day with it. Then imagine over 7 weeks and ask yourself if you would allow either yourself or your loved ones to live with this for an extended period of time. I know development is necessary. I'm requesting that when creating ordinances and granting permits for construction, please remember the policy statement for Title 18, noise control. It is the intent of the City Council to minimize the exposure of citizens to the potential negative physiological and psychological effects of excessive noise and protect, promote, and preserve the public health, safety, and welfare. It is the intent of the City Council to control the level of noise in a manner that promotes the use, value, and enjoyment of property, conduct of business, sleep, and repose, and reduces unnecessary and excessive sound in the environment. And Portlanders deserve an ordinance that is consistent with that policy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, please.
My name is Brooks Hickerson, and I live at 1255 Northwest 9th with my wife Peggy in a condominium called Pinnacle. We are catacorner from the Fields Park and Tatter Springs Park. For you youngsters that don't know what catacorner is, Google it. I have degrees in mathematics and computer science and spent most of my life in the computer industry. Since my wife and I have retired, we can live anywhere in the world. But we choose to live in Portland, and we choose to live downtown and in the Pearl. I would like to address the council today about the noise created by the impact pile drivers, which we've already talked about, and we're going to talk about a little bit more. I don't mind living in the building with the building construction in the Pearl. However, the impact pile drivers create an extreme bone jarring noise, which is close in a close building site, actually drives me from my home. I belong to an organization. It's called the Portland Coalition to Curb Construction Noise. That's what what's what we belong to. This has already done the research on the constant noise on people, and found that the construction noise can have a significant effect, which Patrice Hansen has just described to you. Now, the hidden cost of pile drivers, I call it collateral damage. The work-at-home citizens, it's severely impacted, which Candace Condo has talked about. And my next-door neighbor works all hours in the local health care facility, and his not getting sleep during the day can affect his performance and also can affect his patient's health. I did have a second page here somewhere. Portland has noise regulations, has an active department, and we're working with them to add regulations to include impact pile driving. Somehow that being accepted, this emphasis doesn't make sense to us, okay? It says we're working to make Portland a more livable and a quieter community, but we would not like to necessarily impact the building construction industry. It says, we would like the City Council to support this effort to upgrade the regulations to remove the blanket exemptions for the pile driving noise and to measure and document the noise at a particular construction site. Mary Sipes, Patrice Hansen, Candace Condo, and myself would like to thank the City Council for your time and attention. I personally would like to thank the people of the Hoyt Development, the building that I live in, and also for their decision to use quieter technology on the building that they're just starting on built block 15. They're demonstrating that you can construct modern buildings without the bone jarring impact of hammer pile driving. Now, do you have any questions?
Sure there are. Thank you for a really good presentation. Appreciate you raising this issue in a real coherent way, and my staff's obviously going to continue to work with you and try to grapple with this issue that you've been grappling with, unfortunately, for more than a couple of months now.
Really appreciate the well-organized presentation, and I have to say that this is one of the more high-impact presentations that we hear on Wednesday morning.
Thanks to Patrice, yeah.
Don't laugh at encouragement.
We haven't had a chance to look closely at your packet, but let's take New York City, where we know there's a lot of pile driving because you have to go through dense rock to anchor a high-rise. What limitations do they place on pile driving that you believe are applicable to Portland?
Can I answer that, please? Since I actually have with me a copy of their 32-page code? It's very, very explicit, and it specifically defines the conditions, the exact type of equipment that can be used. There's very little exception that's in there, and the fact that we have availability of this kind of technology right here and it's being used is what leads me to believe that this can be applicable to the city of Portland. We're sort of behind the ball. They adopted this in 2007. And one of the things that they do also is they provide a resource list. Can I point out one thing about the recording to you?
Mm-hmm.
That was not taken outside, by the way.
That was,
in her apartment, door closed, window open about this far.
Wow.
The second question I have is, so we have a city like New York that's already figured this out.
Right.
You said that Hoyt Street is using the technology that mutes the noise. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah.
And do you know, in talking to them, whether that technology imposes additional costs on the development?
I'll answer again. It does. And this is something that's really interesting. Both Unico and Hoyt Street have agreed to spend the extra money. I believe that the increased cost overall for Unico calculated to like 0.1% of the whole cost of the construction. And when you look at an $80 million to $100 million project, it's significant, but it's also, obviously, they have found it doable. Hoyt Street changed their direction when they realized they were going to do the pile driving during the summer right between the two parks. And so they had to go back and re-engineer, and that re-engineering was a major part of the cost. But I also talked to Bridge Housing, who's the developer on the Abigail, and they wanted to use the auger cast, because it was less expensive for them. So there's a lot of different opinion, and some of it, I think, is because there's not a demand here for that equipment to be used, whereas in other cities where there is the demand, it appears that the cost is actually less.
Thank you
for the long-winded
answer.
No, this is very helpful. You really have done some good research on not only your own behalf, but the community's behalf here, and we appreciate that. So,
and that's why we're here, for the whole community, not for the Pearl District.
Not just for Pearl, but for Portland.
Yeah, and I think, we all know sort of the provenance of this issue. We had a big recession. There wasn't much building going on. You know, people had moved into an urban neighborhood that was half built. Well, we've got other urban neighborhoods that are half built too, like the South Waterfront and Central East Side. So, and the Lloyd District and. So, we'll face this problem in other neighborhoods as development continues and as these neighborhoods build out, because the more you build out, the closer people are living to the last handful of sites, which is exactly the situation that you found yourselves in. So, unfortunately, you've been a test case for something that will happen to us again and again, and now we really need to figure it out. So we really appreciate you highlighting the issue, and as I said, we'll continue to work with you both in the noise office and the Planning Bureau to figure out what our options are here and try to move quickly enough that it'll make a difference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming in. Thank you.
We really appreciate your acknowledgement as well. Thank you.
Thank you for being here and all that you do.
All right. Same. We'll talk soon. Thanks. All right. Well, let's...